There's a story about a little church that had an unusual ritual every Sunday. The congregation would sing Gloria Patri, which is glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. And they sang that every Sunday. But the interesting fact was, not that they sang it every Sunday. When they sang it, they stood up and turned to the right and faced a big blank white wall and sang that. And a newcomer came one Sunday, and after a few Sundays, he was kind of curious at why every time they sang this song that they stood up, turned to the right, to this blank white wall, and sang. Each Sunday, every Sunday, the same. So the newcomer, as he was puzzled, he had to ask. And so he started asking people, why do you do that? Why do we do this every Sunday? And the people said, well, I don't really know. I don't know. And he went from one person to another, and the best answer he could get was, well, we've always done it that way. So that's what we do. We stand up, we turn to the right, and we sing the song as we look at this big white wall. And finally, he talked to a gentleman who had been there forever. As long as anybody could remember, he was the oldest member, and he says, I remember now, he says. We didn't have hymn books, and the words to the song were painted on the big white wall, so we would stand up and turn and look and sing the words on the big white wall. And he said, then the words sort of faded, and we painted the wall white, and it got painted again and again, and so we just still do it, because that's what we always did. But nobody knew really why they were doing it. Unfortunately, we do many things in our lives without really thinking about why we do them. It's what we've done, and we will continue to do. Gordon and Darlene, they sit right here every Sunday. It's what they do. Pat and Mel. I mean, most of us sit in the same seat. Better to hear me. But a number of things in our lives, and we go, it's just what we've done and what we always do. So let's take some time today, this morning, and think about communion. Why do we do communion the way we do it? Why do we use the grape juice and bread or wafers during communion? Well, that's what the church has always done. And Jesus told us to do it. And do you know, those are correct answers. I mean, the church has always done communion with the bread and the grape juice and or the wine and whatever, and since the early church. And Jesus did say, do this. Yet, you know, the roots go back before the early church. In Luke chapter 22, Jesus instructs his disciples. He says, go and prepare the Passover. Get it all ready. We're going to have the Passover meal. And in fact, the Passover meal is a meal that they used to do, or that they still do. Some Jews still do it. It celebrates God bringing them out of the land of Egypt, out of slavery, out of the land of Egypt. And that Passover meal actually became that time when Jesus said, go prepare the Passover meal. That became known to us as the Last Supper. That's the last meal that Jesus had with his disciples. In Luke chapter 22, verse 15, we read Jesus addressing his disciples, and he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. See, this is the last meal that they're going to have, and it was important that Jesus, that he knew that they knew he was going to the cross. At the meal, Jesus would explain the reason for his death on the cross by using symbols of wine and bread. Jesus would use these things as he knew they would help them understand what was going to happen, and as that he knew they understood him in the context of the Passover meal. So it wasn't something new to him, to them. The Passover meal was part of the Old Covenant, which involved the sacrifice of animals for the forgiveness of their sins. They would shed the blood of the lamb for their sins. And it wasn't just shed one lamb for all their sins. Like, it wasn't just, oh, just shed this one lamb, the blood of this one lamb, and that'll cover all my sins. No, every time they sinned, they had to bring a sacrifice to the priest for the forgiveness of their sins. Jesus' death on the cross was the start of the new covenant, a new agreement between God and his people. In this covenant, in this new agreement between God and his people, Jesus himself would be the lamb, the sacrifice on the cross for man's sin. John the Baptist said about Jesus in John 1:29, the first half of it, he said, "Look," or the second half, he says, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." The blood of Jesus would effectively remove all the sins of those who place their faith and trust in him, because he is God. Jesus' sacrifice would not have to be repeated over and over again as the sacrifice under the old covenant had to be. Jesus' sacrifice would be good for all of eternity. You know, on Thursday, I drove down to Langley and back. And before I left, I prayed for safe traveling. Now, let me ask you a question. That prayer for safe traveling, does that cover the return trip? Like, does that cover the whole trip down there and back? Well, I'm not 100% sure either. So, I prayed before I left, I prayed on the way going down. I prayed when I left Langley to come home at 8 o'clock at night. And I prayed on the way back as well. But see, that's not the way it works with the sacrifice that Jesus made. That's not the way it works in the new covenant. Jesus' sacrifice for our sins is eternal. It was effective always. No other sacrifice was ever needed. God is not one who changes his mind. He doesn't say, "Well, you know, I sacrificed my son on the cross for your sins, but gee, Scott, it wasn't for that sin. Not really that sin. I mean, that sin, that's way out there. That you're going to need another sacrifice for that sin." Or he didn't go, "Do you know, I sacrificed on the cross, but it was only for 253,000 million sins, and we've gone over that, so now we need another sacrifice." No, it was sacrificed once for all sins, for all our past sins, for all our present sins, and for all our future sins. It was once for all. When we talk about the once for all, when Jesus died on the cross, what did he say? "It is finished." He didn't say, "Well, no, it's not quite finished. It was just about there. We just about made it." No, it is finished. Our sins are forgiven. The sacrifice on the cross was finished. And like I said, the new covenant was foretold in the Old Testament. One place that we read about it, and it's there in many places, but one place is Jeremiah chapter 31 and verses 31 and the first half of verse 32, where we read, "The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their forefathers when I took them by their hand and led them out of Egypt." Jesus wants his disciples and us to understand the reason and the importance of the new covenant. His death on the cross is important. It's not just something that just happened, and it's not just something because it's part of history. He wanted them to know that it was important. So Jesus uses the elements from the Passover meal. He uses the bread and the wine, but here he gives them brand new meaning. He said, "Take this bread. It represents my body, which I give for you." And then he took the cup and said, "This is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." So he takes these emblems, these emblems that were part of the Passover meal, and he gives them brand new meaning. He says, "This bread and this blood, this juice, this cup is talking about my death on the cross, that it was poured out for us." And that's why Jesus commands us and them to take the bread and the cup, and when we do it in remembrance of him. I mentioned last week that we were renovating our basement. And I have a wide array of woodworking tools, most of them which I've purchased over the years. But you know, in doing the reno, I've been using a small metal square. And I've been using this small metal square because I've been marking a lot of 2x4s. And the square was my dad's. And every time I use it, I remember my dad. Even though he's passed away over 25 years ago, every time I pick up that square, I remember my dad. Why? Not because of the square, but it's just something that reminds me of what an awesome dad he was and how he influenced my life so much. And he deserves to be remembered. It's no different than my mom. I mean, I have a couple of things that are really important to me that remind me of my mom. When I was in my teens, I used to joke around about having an imaginary friend. And now the imaginary friend wasn't a person, it was a zebra. And the zebra's name was Ralph. And I used to joke about it from time to time. One day, my mom came home from a thrift store, a thrift sale, and she had this, well, it's about this big. I should have brought it. I still have it. It's just a ceramic, cheap zebra lying down. It was 10 cents. But my mom bought it and said, "Here, I got a thing. I got this. This is Ralph." I still have it today. Why? Because it reminds me of my mom. I've got a little empty box on top of my dresser with a note in it. I'm not supposed to know the box is empty. But the note, and I can't remember what all the note says, but it talks about what's in the box. But I had to look in the box to see. It's empty. There's nothing in the box. There wasn't $1 million check or anything like that. But it was my mom's love for me. And every time I look at it, I remember my mom. And and the influence she was in my life. I would imagine most of us have things that remind us of our loved ones. And Jesus said, remember me, remember my teaching, remember what I did on the cross for you. Remember the new covenant is for today, he says. Remember. In other words, think about it. Think about it. It's not just something we do. Just as a Passover was very significant reminder to the Israelites of their deliverance from the slavery of Egypt. Can you just imagine for a moment what that Passover meal must meant for the Israelites, for the Jews? I mean, they were in slavery to Egypt, and God came and set them free and set them out of Egypt. But in the same way, that communion that we celebrate is just as significant, if not more, about our deliverance and our freedom, which came through the death of Jesus Christ. We need to think about it. We need to remember. Communion is not an empty ritual. Because we remember, we think about what Jesus did on the cross for each one of us and how it impacts our lives. Think about the rich blessings that come from what Jesus did for us. Under the old covenant, it was only the priest who could go into the presence of God. And he could only do that. He could only enter the Holy of Holies. There was a big curtain, and behind the curtain was the Holy of Holies, the Ark of the Covenant. And he could only go in there into where the very presence of God was supposed to be. He could go in there once a year. That's the old covenant. So if you wanted to know something about God or from God, you had to go to the priest. But Jesus' sacrifice on the cross was a new covenant. And his sacrifice on the cross has made it possible for each one of us to go into God's presence anytime, anywhere, whenever we want. Because God's presence is with us. In fact, when Jesus died on the cross, that day, the curtain in the temple was torn from the top to the bottom, signifying that the presence of God was open to all. The new covenant. That's what Jesus did on the cross for us. That we could come into the presence of God at any time. Paul wrote in Ephesians 2 and verse 18, "For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit." Through Jesus' death on the cross, both the Jew and the Gentile, everyone has access to the Father and can come into his presence. The truth is, Jesus, our God, desires us to come to him. He made it a way to make it possible for us to come to him. Think about that. That's what Jesus did on the cross. But there's more blessing than just that. Ephesians 1:7 declares, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace." We have the blessing that our sins are forgiven. It is through something, it's not through something we've done. We sang all those songs today. It was all about what Jesus did on the cross. It's not what we've done. It's through his blood and his body that was broken and shed on the cross. That's why we have forgiveness for our sins. If not for the cross, we have no forgiveness for sins. And Jesus takes our sins. And see, in the old covenant, the sins were just covered by the blood of the Lamb, that sacrifice. The sins were just covered up. But in the new covenant, the sins are gone. They're removed. Jesus takes our sins away. They're removed as far as the east is from the west. And he chooses not to remember them anymore. That's part of the blessing of the new covenant, of the cross, of communion. Then in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, we read, "For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sins, so that we could be made right with God through Christ." We are made right with God. At one point, we were enemies with God, but through the sacrifice of Jesus, we are made right with God. Who wants to be right with God? Or who wants to be on the wrath of God? We don't want to be on God's wrath. We are made right because of Jesus. And another blessing is that we have peace with God, as it states in Romans 5 and 1. And as we live in right relationship, when we're right with God, then we naturally have peace. I'll tell you, there's a lot more peace around my home when I'm in right relationship with my wife than when I'm not. There's not much peace there when I'm not. And it's usually my fault. But also, we have freedom from the power of Satan, as stated in Galatians 5 and 1. "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery." It is for freedom. Satan no longer is our master. He is not in control of our lives. We are slaves to Christ, no longer to Satan. Sin has no power over us. Only when we allow it. Jesus broke the power of Satan. He broke the power of sin. He's set us free from our chains. Those are just a few of the blessings that come from the new covenant, that come from the cross of Jesus. We could also mention the things like there's healing, and there Jesus intercedes on our behalf, and we're adopted into God's family, and still we could continue with more blessings and more blessings. The problem sometimes is our busy lives, and we take things for granted. We don't really think about them. You know, Kathy makes most of the meals in her home. And she cleans the house, and she does the laundry. And it's easy for me to just take those things for granted, not realizing all that it takes for her to make those healthy meals, or to keep the house clean, or to make sure my clothes are clean and ironed. I could just take them all for granted. But you know, these things don't just happen. The meals don't just magically appear. My clothes aren't just magically pressed and clean. My wife goes to a lot of effort. In a similar way, we can think the first Sunday of the month and that we are going to have communion again. But we need to take time to think about what communion really means. So, as we go into the communion segment of our service on this Sunday or any Sunday, any first Sunday of the month, or whatever day we have it on, what goes into it through our minds? Do they just go into autopilot? Because this is what we do on the first Sunday of every month? And how many, just how many thought, "Oh, what about communion? Pastor Scott didn't do communion yet." Because usually we do it before the message. So the kids from upstairs and Kathy can, or whoever's doing Kids Zone can partake as well. Do we just go into autopilot? Do we just go through the motions of taking the bread and the juice? not really thinking about it? Do we not think about how the bread represents his body, which was nailed to the cross, and how the juice represents his blood, which was shed for us? As we take communion, we need to think. We need to come into God's presence, thinking of how it all came about. How did our salvation come about? We need to think of all that Jesus did for us, all that Jesus did for the world. We need to think about the rich blessings that come because of what Jesus did on the cross for us. And then we need to be thankful. We just need to be thankful. That last song that we sang, and Lee's going to come and play it again when we do communion here in a minute. But that last song, you know, we just need to be thankful. We just need to give thanks because Jesus gave it all for us. He died on the cross. May communion never be just a time when we just go through the motions.